But where are you really from?
But where are you really from?
Hey everyone, I'm Angela Lin.
And I'm Jesse Lin, and welcome back to another episode of But Where Are You Really From?
Today we're talking about Americans moving abroad and trying to seek better lives abroad. Yeah, it me. But it's not just about me. I do think that this has become more of a trend nowadays, especially since the pandemic happened and made it more clear in people's minds that your job does not necessarily need to be tied to a specific location, even if that was the case before. Like, I really think the pandemic woke people up to the fact that, like, you can still do a good job working remote, even if, like, you're still working at a quote-unquote normal company and not, like, doing your own business or freelancing or whatever. I don't know about you, but I definitely have noticed a trend in both the, like, people I personally know thinking about doing this, and also just, like, on social media, I guess, of, like, seeing a lot of people starting to do this. All in all, just saying that, like, I've definitely noticed on my side a lot more people, both in my actual life and online, talking about this topic outside of us personally also wanting to do this. Not sure if you have also noticed this or if I'm just, like, the only friend doing that or thinking about it.
I don't think you're the only friend. I would still say it's the minority, but I agree that the pandemic definitely shook up a lot of things for a lot of people. And aside from the work piece of it, I think it also help people reprioritize the things in their life, being like, wow, like, at any moment, I could literally lose, like, 2 to 3 years of my life to something that I have no control over, and wanting to kind of, like, live your opportunity now to the maximum. And also, I think we've talked about this in the past, but looking at different countries and how they approached their opening, their public policy, like, all that stuff when the pandemic happened, I think it also made people realize that, hey, maybe, like, I don't want to be living where I am because I wasn't able to do the things that I wanted to do while I was here. Like, I have friends who don't live in the US anymore, and I feel like that was, it might have just been, like, the age we were at, and now people are kind of older and more established to have higher incomes. But I honestly didn't see it for a lot of people in my cohort, if we were to say, like, the college group that you're in is your cohort. And now I feel like there's a few people, like, I have a couple of friends who are thinking about it or have done it. You're doing it. And honestly, like, when people ask me, like, would you ever leave New York? My answer is always, like, not for anywhere else in the U.S. Like, if I leave New York, I'm leaving the U.S. Like, I'm not going to go live anywhere. I don't see it for me personally. Like, I see, like, if I were to leave New York, then I'm going somewhere abroad.
You mentioned people with higher incomes. For sure, this is not, and you also mentioned it's a minority. It is a minority, even if social media glamorizes it, even if I personally surround myself with people who might already be prone to these kinds of thoughts. It's definitely a minority for many reasons. One part is definitely income. One is family or other obligations. One is, like, if your job is specific to, like, there are certain jobs that have to be specifically tied to geographies, like medicine or, like, law or in the field type things. Like, many different types of jobs can't really be remote like that. And then the other aspect is cultural and language, which is, like, a very big hurdle for a lot of people. So, like, everyone loves Japan. I don't know anyone who's, like, visited Japan who's like, I hated it. It was the worst. But the majority, like, 99% of those people will never think of Japan as a viable option to live their actual lives in because they can't fathom overcoming the, like, cultural and language barriers of trying to integrate into society because it's not a very, like, heavily English-speaking place.
I think the idea of Americans moving elsewhere to have a better life is not a new thing, but my perception of it, like, looking at news stories and the media, is that it's always largely kind of been around, like, I'm old, I'm retiring, I want to stretch what I have saved. And I feel like it's more of a new thing that younger folks are considering to spend a majority of time where they're still potentially growing and doing big life things in a different country.
Yeah, it's actually super interesting because when you boil it down to what it really is, we're just talking about immigration, right? And like different facets of it and different times of your life and different reasons you would be doing it. And you're right, I think the fascinating thing here is that the group, the target group that is doing this right now, it's young people. And young people who make more money in their home country and want to take it to a different country where their dollars can stretch farther, as opposed to general immigration. The majority of other immigrants do the opposite thing, where like they might still go when they're young, right? Like they want to have a family elsewhere, but they're really going from like a lower potential earning country to a higher potential earning country, or like higher opportunity country like the US or elsewhere to like quote unquote make a better life for themselves, like our own families did, right? Like both of our parents moved to the US from Taiwan and started their families in the US because they thought it would be a higher opportunity, higher earning place to be, as opposed to now we're doing the opposite, which is like it's still young people, but you're taking your higher dollars to go to a lower cost place. So I think that's a small little like detail, but it's really like narrowing in on why this is different, I think, than the past.
We talked in the past about how you really enjoy certain countries because of like the safety, the security, the vibes, basically. The vibes are quite different, if you will. How much of that is like, how is that weighted in your calculus versus just your dollars stretching further?
Hey, listeners, wondering how you can support us? The biggest way is by increasing our visibility by following us on Instagram at Where Are You From Pod, on TikTok at But Where Are You Really From, subscribing to our YouTube channel under But Where Are You Really From Podcast, rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, and telling your friends. The more people we can get to listen to the show, the more we can continue spotlighting different perspectives and stories. And if you feel so inclined, we're also accepting donations at buymeacoffee.com/whereareyoufrom. Thanks, y'all.
It's a huge part of it because you also mentioned like life stage, and our life stage is that we're trying to have a family soon. And so thinking about kids and all that, like safety is definitely number one. And you and I grew up in a very safe part of the US. Like all things considered, it was literally ranked like one of the safest cities in America, but it's so expensive. So when you add all the factors together, it's like, if we want to prioritize safety as a really top priority for any future kids we have, and honestly, just being a woman, like I know Japan has a notorious issue with like sexual harassment type things, but all things considered, like all potential forms of violence that could happen to me as a woman, like I still feel much, much safer in Japan than I do in the US, for example, compared to like in New York, like when I landed from Korea and I was like immediately feeling all this tension among people. So, yeah, safety being top and also wanting to maximize our lives from like a cost standpoint, then it becomes like a very, very attractive place to be. But if I had to give up my US citizenship in order to move abroad, would I really do that? I haven't had to cross that bridge yet because the only reason I would have to give it up is if I attain Japanese citizenship, which I don't know if I ever really need to do because I could just get residency similar to like a green card. But it's the privilege that we have as US citizens thinking about doing these types of things is like we can have the best of both worlds. And I know that people can feel really icky about that. Because it's like, oh, well, you're having such a good time elsewhere because you make so much more than the local people. And that's definitely true. That's definitely true. I just kind of struggle with it because I think depending on where you move and like how much you're actually impacting the local economy, like whether it's really a bad thing is up in the air. Because, for example, like we're currently in Kyoto, it's already a very touristy place. It's like they depend heavily on tourist dollars. They're happy to take our money. It's not like it doesn't affect the wages or like the prices necessarily of local people, because also Japan is like heavily deflationary. So when prices go up like 20 yen, they freak out because prices don't really go up at all in Japan. So it's not like us moving here is making their prices like double and like them not be able to buy anything anymore. If anything, it's stimulating their local economy. So there's definitely like pros and cons, and it changes depending on where you're doing this. But for us, it doesn't seem like it's like a negative thing that we're doing. But I know it is still a place of privilege to like take this very strong citizenship elsewhere, this strong income, and go elsewhere and kind of like try to get the best of all of it.
It is challenging. I kind of feel like at the end of the day, though, you have to do what's right for you. And it's not exactly like super easy either, at least from my perspective. Like, I feel like there are so many, like, if I was thinking about doing that for myself, I think there would be so many like doubts, anxieties, like work, legal, like relationship barriers that would need to be overcome. So I don't think it's exactly like quite so simple either. And when it comes to the money conversation, like I feel like that's also tricky, but it recalls for me the conversation that we always have about gentrification, where it's like, well, your people are moving into poor neighborhoods, they're displacing the people that originally lived there. And it's a really bad cycle to happen, but it's also kind of like weird to blame individual people for wanting to seek better circumstances for themselves, right? Like, it's almost like you're blaming the person for wanting to find a good home for themselves. And it should be like, why isn't there a way for us to fairly distribute people where they want to live? And obviously, there are exceptions, right? There are always exceptions to the rule where people are trying to like unfairly gain an advantage. But I think for the most people, we generally talk about when it comes to stuff like that, it's like it's not malicious intent. It's just like everyone is pursuing what's good for them, and I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with that.
I think the topic of gentrification and where it comes at a crossroads with like this nomad, digital nomad thing got really heated was around Mexico City, because that was like became such a hotbed for like all the remote workers, digital nomads, especially during COVID. But I don't know that anywhere else really is like that centered around that. And had so much of a change happen in such a short amount of time. Because, for example, like there are foreigners who live in Japan, but they're not flipping like whole buildings to accommodate us. If anything, it's like kind of hard to move here as a foreigner. They make it so that it's not so easy because they want to maintain like a good quality of life for Japanese citizens and not like let in crazy people and not like just take away all of the good things from Japanese people. So when we talked about gentrification last time, I still think it's applicable now. Like a lot of it also has to do with the government and the way that they are thinking about immigration, short or long term, and planning for that in a way that does not ruin things for local people, but still provides an opportunity for outside people that also gives them a benefit because they want immigrants. Any country wants immigrants because they want more tax dollars and they want like highly skilled people. They want to improve their own society. So there's always a benefit to allowing people like this to come into your society. It's just how you plan to do it. And at least somewhere like Japan here, that's like, if anything, the complaints are often that it's too hard to get in. And then the last thing I'll say is just like, when it comes to local people and them being impacted, at least like everyone we've talked to is like really thrilled when they hear that we, like in Japan, every Japanese person we talk to that we say like, oh, actually we bought a house here and we're like, we spend several months here a year and we plan to like move here in the future. No one is like, the fuck you foreigner. Like there's none of that vibe of like, how dare you take away from Japanese people and like make it for yourself. They're always like, that's amazing. And like, oh, welcome to the neighborhood. Welcome to Kyoto. So I think oftentimes there's also a mismatch between like media perception or like finding, media is trying to incite feelings. So also when you hear those headlines about people being like super pissed in Mexico City, I know those people exist. I know they do. But you know that those journalists are also looking for people that are pissed to like represent in an article to make sure they get clicks. So there's like I'm sure there's also another aspect of even the Mexico City people who are like, oh, it's great that these people are here because of other reasons. So it's not all bad from a local perspective either.
Not at all. I think it's such a mix of things. And I think it helps that you guys did say that you're going to be there for at least a good part of the year living in the house. As I think it would be a completely different situation if you were like, I'm just renting this place out every night to someone that's different.
I think that's kind of one of the key differences is whether you are coming off as migratory or if you plan to like plant roots and try to actually integrate into Japanese society or any society that you're trying to move into. And that's an immigration issue at large around the world. But like for us, that's also definitely part of why we feel like we receive positivity from local people is because we're like, oh, first of all, we're speaking to them in Japanese. So they're like, okay, you clearly have put a lot of effort into this where we couldn't be communicating. And then second, us saying like, we want to like move here and like integrate, then they're like, that's amazing. So it's about what you bring as well from like your attitude towards and your intentions towards living somewhere.
Well, okay. Thank you for sharing with us your thoughts on moving abroad. I hope it's a really exciting journey for you guys when it does finally kick in and get started. We would love to hear from you listeners whether or not you've considered moving somewhere abroad, whether it's just, temporarily you want to explore a new country or new place, or if you're really seriously thinking about planting roots in a different place than the place other than the place you were born. Let us know. We'd love to hear. And as always, come back next week for a fresh new episode. And until then,
Zaijian,
Zaijian.
bitches.